you know.
You were talking about this dravya aspect and the rupi aspect of the mind.
Yeah.
So what happens?
So, you know, have you got this understood now? This part difference understood now.
Yeah.
What does it mean by saying cognitively resolving the jagat in Brahman?
Yeah.
That is also resolving.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the word you resolving we are using in different contexts, no? One meaning. And another word is one when you say, okay, every day the thoughts resolve, thoughts arise. Thoughts arise, thoughts resolve. Thoughts arise, thoughts resolve. The thoughts arise, it is a waking state. Thoughts are resolved, it's a deep sleep state. And all the thoughts arise, and thoughts which arise also are in association with the senses, and we call it a mind is totally functional. The thoughts arise, but they do not function with the senses. Mind alone is functional, means we call it a dream state. And all the thoughts are resolved, we call it a deep sleep state.
Yes.
Yeah. This is first point. Next question. What next question getting?
The dravya aspect of the mind.
Yeah.
And the vritti aspect of the mind. You said it is for only understanding purpose that it is divided into the two.
Yeah.
So I thought, because you said that when there is stillness, you get the substance there, the matter there, then you get the wave arising.
In talking about the creation, I told about that stillness example I gave.
Yeah.
If you see, doctor, suppose when you see the ocean, if you say there is always a base of the ocean, isn't it? Base of the ocean, and from which the waves arise and wave fall. Waves arise and wave fall. So then you see the two aspects. There is a base aspect of the ocean and the wave aspect of the ocean. Two aspects.
Yeah.
Basically, you can't separate them as two things. But for understanding purpose, there is a base aspect of the ocean, isn't it? And then their waves arise and the waves fall. And the waves are so many, isn't it? Whereas the base remains the same. For us, it looks as the wave is ocean is moving. The water is moving. Really speaking, water doesn't move. Water is in the same place, lending support. Actually, what rises and fall, actually, the movements, movement of the waves, rising of the waves, and falling of the waves, movement on the part of the waves, all of them will be impossible without the water. But by water itself, does it move? If you said it doesn't move. Everything happens in the water. In neeril anaitum erpaduginrana, isn't it? In the water, the motion, the movement, the rising, the falling happens. And then when you talk about the creation, I told that differently, isn't it? But here, when you talk about these two aspects for understanding, why we have to say, suppose if the thoughts go, if we say the mind goes out, means you will get confused, no? Oh, mind goes means when who is sitting there then? We'll think mind is always moving then, isn't it? That is why I have to say there are two aspects of the mind, dravyamshaha, vrittiyamshaha, and they are not physically separable like the ocean, the base aspect of the ocean and the wave aspect of the ocean. They're not separable. But the waves, the base does not move, it's always there, base aspect. The mind itself is subtlest of the manifestations. It's not achintya, it is also what now, the mind is what now, mind is not available for thought perception, the sense perception. You have to understand only in your mind, isn't it? That is why that mind, we say, always mind is there. Mind once has entered into the body means it doesn't move. It's always there. How long? That's why I said this mind has tadatmyam with the body. It's called what now? Karmaja tadatmyam. The association of the mind with the body itself is what now? Karmaja tadatmyam. What determines the entry of the mind into the physical body, physical form? Maybe the form might have been very tiny one when it entered. The tiniest body it might have entered. But the same mind continues to sit there, is seeing the body growing. And even seeing the wrinkle, no? Tiny little baby's body it has entered. And then it is sitting there. Isn't it? It will be there. It won't go. That is how this body's growth itself is possible because of the presence of the mind. The mind must be there. Only then pranas can be there. Only then sense powers can be there. Only then powers of organs of action can be there. So all of them will be there only with the mind. Isn't it? And then the mind will always be there. Doesn't go at all, out at all. But how this mind functions? The function of mentation. How this mind functions? That is what important thing. And then that is why in keeping with the mentation, the function of mentation alone, we say the body is active or the body is inactive. In keeping with the presence and the absence of the mind, the body, we say the body is alive or the body is dead. In keeping with the presence and the absence of the mind, we say body is alive or the body is dead. But in keeping with the function of mentation of the mind, we say body is active or body is inactive. Two things, no? The inactive body, active body. Dead body, alive body. Isn't it? See, alive body can be inactive and active. Isn't it? So then we have to say how in keeping with the function of mentation. The mind is functional, body is active. Mind is non-functional, body is inactive. But still body is alive. The mind, the thoughts are all, isn't it? The mind is absent, body is dead. And who determines the entry and departure of the mind into the body? Amazing, Bhagavan, isn't it? The order. The order, the paradha karma phalam determines.
One more, 2 minutes. Mm. The other thing is, you said...
Take thoughts, for 10 minutes, no problem, doctor.
No, 9:15.
No problem.
The thoughts go out, you said. That is a difficult thing for me to
yes,
understand.
Yes, that is everybody difficult for everybody, doctor, because it is something very new. Not very new, something very subtle. That is the very special thing about Vedanta. Vrittis, see the knowledge happens, isn't it? There's something called knowledge arises. What does it mean by saying rising of the knowledge? We'll do Shanti Mantra, then we'll just continue. Om Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Om Gananaam Tva Ganapati Gumhavamahe Kaving Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. See, there is a root in Sanskrit language, man. Manute means things, and manyate means considers things. Mananam means thinking. So gerund, thinking. Manute, manyate. You can say mananam, thinking. Mananam literally means thinking. The act of thinking is called mananam. And we have, that's why there's a noun is what now? Mind. We say mind itself means what now? Manaha. It's a manas. Sakarantaha napumsakalinga shabdaha. It's a neutral gender word, manas. That manas becomes what now? Manaha. When you say the sakara goes, visarga comes, we say manaha. Even though we say, put visarga, we say manaha. In Tamil we call it manam and manaha. Isn't it? Man. In any whole India, man, they know. Manaha, manas is the word, because manaha. And one more word we have in Samna, now from feminine gender word is Matihi. Manaha, neuter gender word. Mananam is a gerund. Matihi is a feminine gender word. Same meaning. Matihi also means what now? Mind only. Matihi, feminine gender word. Manaha, neuter gender word. That's difference. And here, what is this mind? Like, you know, the physical organ, you know, like heart. What is heart? All about heart. A cardiologist can explain. Even an ordinary biology student who has studied biology for a short while, he can explain what is. So here, what I'm all about, what I want to say here. Now you know at least the mandatuhu, mananam, manaha, matihi. Matihi is a feminine gender word. Okay. So matihi, feminine gender word, mananam, a gerund, and manaha, neuter gender word. Suppose you say, what is heart, if you say, you can say all about heart, isn't it? It's a physical part, what are the tissues about, and then what are the parts involved in the heart, and what is the function it does, what is it made of, now what does it mean by saying the failure, etc., you know, and then when it starts failing, how other failures for the parts, how they contribute for the non-functioning of the heart, etc. You can talk all about the heart, isn't it? Similarly, we have to know about the mind now. First of all, mind belongs to sukshma shariram. Belongs to means what? Not belonging somewhere. It is a subtle aspect. Why do you get a subtle aspect now? It forms part of the whole subtle sukshma. There's an entire sukshma, all of them had to be together, isn't it? That is why it is not, mind is not separate entity. Mind is part of the whole sukshma shariram. And sukshma itself tells you, we have to remember this very, very clearly, sukshma in Sanskrit Bhasha also means small, tiny. Sukshma also means what you can say, this pipilika means ant. Pipilikayaha dehaha sukshmaha asti. Means what now? Gajasya dehaha sthulaha asti. Sukshmaha means what now? Tiny. When you say sukshma, the word sukshma can be used to mean something very small and tiny also. But here sukshma means subtle. Subtle means even ant can be perceived. Ant is perceptible. Even your bacteria is perceptible through microscope. Isn't it? Even what is subtlest also, minutest thing also, even through a microscope you can what now? You can perceive till it is perceptible. Only thing is your lens is not enough. Therefore, you need a bigger lens. You use a different lens and then magnify it, and then you still perceive it. It is still perceptible. Even the imperceptible bugs are perceptible. They are sthulam only. But subtle means not perceptible at all through senses. Invisible, imperceptible, when I say, not available for through any of the senses. It must be a form or color or sound or taste or touch or anything. Only then it can be perceived through any of the senses, isn't it? So the very word sukshma implies it is not available for sense perception. Subtle. That is why it is, everybody cannot see this mind. And one's mind is available for thought perception, means available for understanding for one's own self. Isn't it? So mind, therefore mind is available for objectification, but for one's own, isn't it, objectification, one's own self, not for others. That is why we call it sukshma subtle. And what is this mind? The subtle mind, imperceptible mind, invisible mind. And this mind is nothing but, we say, constitution of vrittis. Many vrittis constitute the mind. This is how initially we study. What is mind? Many, because otherwise you can't understand mind. Is there something called mind? Where is it? We want location for everything. Where is heart? Immediately we said that in between the two lungs and then inside the ribs, they're sitting like a lotus. We can't talk about it. We want a location. Where is it? Where is it sitting? The mind, you can't find a location because it is subtle. But you can understand how the mind is because we know our desire. We know there is something called desire. We know something called like, something called dislike, something called want, something called anger, something called understanding, something called clarity, something called confusion, something called doubt and dialogue. All these things we understand, all these are all vrittis. These all constitute the mind. That is how initially, like a kindergarten child, we have to understand what is the mind. Mind is nothing but constitution of all the vrittis together. All the thoughts put together constitute the mind. That is how we understand initially. This is how mind is. Vrittis alone constitute the mind. That's how we understand. We can't understand the seeing the wave only. We have to understand, where does the wave come from? Oh, there's something called then ocean. Isn't it? Where do these waves rise and fall means, where do they rise and fall? Then you see there's something called, is it the base part of the ocean? Like that you understand, together there are vrittis, therefore there must be a thing where these thoughts rise and thoughts resolve. Isn't it? Therefore we say, what do you say generally? This is how mind is. And this mind is a function by itself. In fact, mind itself means what now? Paying attention is minding, isn't it? Giving attention, paying attention is what now? Minding. That is why we can use this expression, mind your own business. That means what now? Pay attention to your own work. Don't poke, unnecessarily into, don't pay attention to other things. Isn't it? So mind itself means what now? Mind as a verb, what does it mean? Pay attention to something, isn't it? Pay attention to. So that is why that which is involved in the function of attending to, paying attention, isn't it? It's also called what now? Manaha, matihi. Isn't it? So we say, and then if this manaha is a function, mind is what now? Mind itself is a function. It's a subtle aspect, like heart. The organ is involved in the function. The subtle aspect mind also is what now? Is a function by itself. Mind is also involved in the function. And how does it function? That is where you have to understand the mind is of two aspects which are physically inseparable. We understand the one aspect of the mind which is firm as the dravya amshaha, and the other aspect of the mind which is of, no, which is nothing but full of thought, vrittis, vritti amshaha of the mind. Those vrittis actually rise and resolve in that dravya amsha. Vritti aspect of the mind rise in from the dravyamsha, resolve in the dravyamsha. You cannot comprehend. It is incomprehensible. You can only understand. Because it is not available for sense perception. And nor can you understand, even in your own mind you can't understand. You can only understand the rising of vrittis. Only from the standpoint of the vrittis being there, you can say, vrittis are out. And when you wake up from sleep, you can say vrittis were not there. Understand? That means, where were they then? What was there is dravyamsha. Every day in deep sleep state, you can understand how dravyamsha would have been. You want to know, when the vrittis do not rise, what is there is dravyamsha. There is a mind still, isn't it? Dravyamsha of the mind is there or not? It is very much there. What do you call it then? You can't experience it, okay? You have to wake up from sleep to understand all the thoughts were not there. Where were they? They were all resolved. Where were they resolved? That is called what we say? Dravya Amshaha. That's how you have to understand Dravya Amshaha of the mind. Is it clear now? Very important. Then this vrittis arise and vrittis are vrittis resolve. And which vrittis, how do the vrittis arise? Isn't it? Vrittis arise means varieties of vrittis arise. That is why we say every vritti is what? Now, vrittihi is a feminine gender word, which is a name given to a, no, as a thought. In Sanskrit Bhasha, we call it vrittihi. In English, you call it thought. In Tamil, we call it yennam. Isn't it? The vrittihi rises. I also only one vritti, not one vritti. There will never be only one vritti, okay? In deep sleep state, there will be only one vritti. One cognition will be there. What? Absence of cognition. There is a cognition of the absence of cognition. That is one thing, isn't it? Otherwise, always vrittis will be there. There is no time when the vrittis are not there. Only thing is, these vrittis have to arise. Only then, the whole, all these, the subtle powers, isn't the vrittis have to arise, and vrittis have to be there, and vrittis resolved. Constantly, this will be happening. Like how sun, every day we have the day, rising of the sun and setting of the sun, not actually setting and rising, but still as though, because the rotation of the earth, isn't it? We have as though sun rises and sets like that. Every day it's constantly happening. So for us also, what constantly what is happening is, thoughts rise, thoughts are, thoughts resolve. Thoughts rise, thoughts are, thoughts resolve. Thoughts rise, thoughts are, thoughts resolve. Isn't it? That means there must be dravyamsha is always there. And vrittis alone, what happens now? Vrittis come out, vrittis resolve. Vrittis come out, vrittis resolve. This is the function of mentation, function of minding. Isn't it? This is a function by itself. And this function also, we have to remember here, any function is within the realm of law and order. There is no function which is outside of the order. Wherever there is a function, that function is within the realm of law and order. No function is outside of the order. It's very important point. Function, isn't it? Any function. So mind is a subtle aspect which is involved in the function of mentation, and that in keeping with that function alone, when you say thoughts arise and thoughts resolve, that is how mind functions. When the thoughts arise, and then when the thoughts have to arise, and the thoughts are of the nature of expansion and contraction, thoughts move. You have to understand, thoughts move means, the problem is, thought is very, very subtle. Move means immediately we want to see how my hand moves. We want to see a thought moving like this. That is not possible. That is why the doubt comes. Oh, how? Oh, I want to see thought moving. You can't see. The one who sees the external movement is what? The moving vritti only. Understand? Because of the moving vritti, mind alone, you are able to see the external movements. You can't see the movement of, you can't see through physical eyes the movement of the vrittis. You understand it. That's why when you listen again and again and again this vritti amsha, it will become clear. Now you have heard once in Dhritarishya class, today I thought, okay, let me clear this doubt. And vrittis arise and vrittis go, means varieties of vrittis arise and vrittis also are there. When vrittis are there only, the vrittis can lend consciousness to, vrittis have to rise as reflecting medium. Only then vrittis have reflection of consciousness. When the vrittis move alone, what now? They can back up the sense powers and the powers of organs of actions. Only then they can be functional. The secret, this is the secret. Why in deep sleep state sense powers are resolved? Why do we say in deep sleep state, what happens? What is the deep sleep state? Isn't it? In deep sleep state, all the vrittis are resolved. Vrittis are resolved means what now? Every vritti, I told you, every vritti also serves a reflecting medium, isn't it? All the vrittis have reflection of consciousness. Remember this point at least. The mind has reflection of consciousness. Vrittis also have the reflection of consciousness. Therefore, what now? Vrittis, the dravyamsha or the vrittyamsha, the mind as a whole is always conscious and sentient. When the vritti comes, the reflecting medium is there, then there is reflection of consciousness. And the vritti, when the reflecting medium moves, reflection also moves. Is it clear now? Reflection also moves. When the vritti as a reflecting medium moves, the reflection of consciousness also moves. Isn't it? Reflection also moves. That is how what happens now, when the vrittis back up these sense powers, then they all become conscious and sentient, they become illumined, that is how they become, they start functioning. That is how in waking state we have what now, the vrittis arise, vrittis move and vrittis lend consciousness to the sense powers and all the powers of organs of actions, they also become functional in waking state. That is why when the deep sleep state, vrittis are resolved, the sense powers also are resolved. That means what happened to sense powers? They're all there, non-functional. That is why eyes do not see. Now I was sleeping very well, but I was also watching television. You can't say that. Because eyes sense powers are resolved. I heard them shouting, you know, I was sleeping very well, I heard them shouting. You can't do that. It is not, you're not sleeping. You are awake, wide awake, that's why you could hear others shouting. So the sense powers are all resolved means you can't see, isn't it? Hear the sound, you don't see any form and color light, you don't smell also, you don't taste also. Somebody comes and put laddu in your mouth even you're fast asleep. You may say, but still you won't know the taste. You won't even know the gurtas laddu. Even suppose somebody pushes into you. Why? Because sense powers are resolved. Understand? When you're wide awake, something is given means where you will immediately say, very sweet and all that. But now nothing will know because sense powers are resolved. Why? Vrittis have to back up the sense powers for the sense powers to be functional. Only if the sense powers are functional, then what now? There's something called perception takes place. When perception takes place, then perceived object has its existence. And then not only sense powers, what about the powers of organs of actions? All the subtle powers are resolved. Not only the pranas function in deep sleep state. What happens to the powers of organs of actions? Power in the legs, the subtle power of organ of action, the legs and hands, and also speech, all the subtle powers of organs of actions also are resolved in deep sleep state because the vrittis are not there. Vrittis are resolved. Vrittis have to be there, only then sense powers can function, powers of organs of actions can function. When they are functional, then you call what now? Body will be active. Why the body is inactive? Why the body is lying like, even though the person is alive, but still the person is not, physical body is not moving, isn't it? The physical body is lying like a dead body. Not dead, but as though dead the person is in deep sleep state. All of us are like dead bodies only in deep sleep state. We are not moving. Why? Why body is not walking? Why the body is not, isn't it? When something has to wake you up, either you had to go to the toilet or you had to go to drink water. Something natural, nature's call wakes you up sometimes. This again is within the realm of prarabdha only. Again you fall asleep. Once the mind is taught, all the vrittis are resolved, means what happens then? That is why the sense powers are not backed by mind in deep sleep state. Sense powers are not backed by mind means what now? There is no link, connection. They are, but they are non-functional. Why they are not backed by mind? Because vrittis are not there. That is why body is not moving. Body is not going here and there. Is it clear now? So it's very important. Vrittis have to arise so that vrittis can what now? The mind is in the body in deep sleep state. The whole body is what now? Alive. Pranas are also there. Mind is there. But what is not there? The vrittis are all resolved. Vrittis are not there. What happened to vrittis? They are resolved. Why they are resolved? Because that is how mind functions. That is called a non-functional state of mind. Means what now? Thoughts are resolved. And no thought is there. No vritti is there. Mind, that's why we call it, mind is non-functional. Totally non-functional. Mind is... Mind is conscious, mind is alive, mind is never dead, okay? Mind is always alive, a conscious being. A human mind is a wonderful conscious being, ever alive. Ever having reflection manifestation of consciousness. This mind is, but what is not there? Mind is in the body, body is alive. When does this mind enter into the body? Isn't it? That is determined by the prarabdha karma phalam. When the tiny little body it enters into. And it stays there without undergoing any change. Mind remains the same. Sukshma remains the same. When the mind enters, along with the mind enter the subtle sense powers, subtle powers of organs of actions. Isn't it? And pranas. It's just an abode, you know that? All of them go and occupy their place, take their own place. It is like a house, typically like a house. And people have to go and occupy the house. Like that, mind comes, takes its own place. And then all the five sense powers come, take go to their own houses. And then powers of organs of actions go to their own respective places. And pranas come on, we will govern. And they take every organ and they start functioning. Different systems in the body. Fantastic, isn't it? Yeah. And they all work together, very friendly. And they're all in order, together. They're all very friendly with each other. Function together. And first, you know, but who's the head of this, of all the whole, all the aspects together? Mind. Mind leaves, all of them will leave together. Mind comes, all of them will come together. You know that, Satyam? And this my entry of the mind into the tiny little body is determined by the prarabdha karma phalam. That is why we studied in Dhritarishya class, karmaja tadatmyam. What tadatmyam? Karmaja tadatmyam. The association of the mind with the given physical form is determined by one's prarabdha karma. Prarabdha karma phalam only. This is what we say, you know, this is karmaja tadatmyam. The body, mind is there in the physical body. And then the body keeps growing. Mind, nothing happens to mind, it's the same mind. Okay? And the body keeps growing. Growing, growing, growing. My body alone grows. That is why we studied in the second chapter of Gita. What we study now? Dehes, no? Dehi no smin yatha dehe kaumaram yauvanam jara. Asmin dehe dehi naha kaumaram. First what now? Kaumaram, boyhood. Yavanam, thereafter youthhood. Thereafter what now? Jara, old age. All the three things happen for the physical body, but not for the sukshma, the person who indwells the body. Isn't it? And so also what now? Dehantra praptihi also, the same way happens and quits the body. When the body becomes very old and leaves it and goes to the new one. So tatha dehantara praptihi, assuming another body is also similarly, as similar to that, dhiraha tatra na muhyati, the wise person does not get deluded about it. Isn't it? is what is said in the second chapter. Now, what I want to understand, so this is, entry is determined by the paradha karma phalam, and then you are there, and when the paradha karma phalam ends also, then what now? When the karma phalam, paradha ends, so the departure of the mind also is determined by the paradha karma phalam. That is why nobody can stop the mind from entering, nobody can stop the mind from departing. That is why who decides? The paradha karma phalam. So paradha is what? That is how law, universal, natural law and order, Bhagavan in the form of law and order. That is why when the mind is in the body, body is alive. So body being alive, body being dead is determined by the presence and the absence of the mind. But body being active and the body being inactive is determined by the function, mind being functional and the non-functional, or determined by the functioning, the functional state of mind and the non-functional state of mind. So how, what do you mean by saying the mind being functional? All the vrittis are out, isn't it? This vrittis are there, mind is totally functional. Vrittis are all resolved, mind is non-functional. The non-functional state of mind is called a deep sleep state. The functional state of mind means this is a waking state. Why we call it? Because the senses, vrittis are out, the senses are also alive, also functional, then all the powers of organs of actions also are functional, then the vrittis go out. Very important thing. Now, what is cognition? What is knowledge? How does the cognition take place? How does the knowledge take place? Arivu endra ondru eppadi erpadugirathu? For which, now you say, there is a fan, therefore I see the fan. There is a fan, therefore I see the fan. This is our understanding. But Shastram says, I see, therefore the fan is. What is correct? I see, therefore the fan is. I see. Now, I see, therefore the fan is. That is the correct sentence. The fan is, therefore I see. No, that is not right. Fan is or is not, doesn't matter. If you do not see the fan, even if the fan is as good as non-existent. Fan does not have the status of being an existent at all, if you do not see it. Why do we say that? Because fan, that is why the whole world is very much there when you are asleep. It may be day like this, or it may be night. If you are asleep, if you are fast asleep, Jagat is as good as non-existent. If the Jagat is, therefore Jagat is, therefore I see the Jagat, I see the universe, if you say, then when you are fast asleep also, you should know Jagat, existence of the Jagat. Why you do not know the existence of the Jagat in the deep sleep state? Jagat is very much there. Jagat is very much there because you do not see, therefore Jagat is as though non-existent. Jagat is as good as non-existent. Why there is non-existent? Therefore, existence of anything is what now? Is dependent on the cognition of the object, anything. cognition presupposes, knowledge presupposes existence of anything. Is it clear? No. Cognition presupposes the existence. Is it very clear now? That is why in deep sleep state there is no cognition. Jagat is as good as non-existent. Why? The perception does not take place. Therefore, Jagat is as good as Jagat is not perceived. Not perceived means it is as good as non-existent. Jagat does not have the capacity to reveal its presence by itself. I told you hundreds and thousands of times, Jagat is Jada Prapanchaha means what? It does not have the capacity to reveal its existence by itself. It has to be perceived in order to come to light. And to be perceived, perception should take place. For the perception to take place, there must be what? Perceiver. For the perceiver to be there. Which perceiver? Eyes of the perceivers, and then ears are the perceivers. Even the sense powers, each sense power is a perceiver of a given object. The perceiver means what now? Because they all had to be, perceivers had to be there. How do they become perceivers? When they are backed by the conscious vrittis. Conscious mind has to back up the sense powers. And how do the, then mind is always there. Still the mind, senses are non-functional in deep sleep state. Why? Because vrittis are not there. Understand now? Vrittis are not there. And the vrittis are there means, when the vrittis go out, the body, mind, presence of mind itself make the entire body conscious and sentient. But the sense powers all become what now? Non-functional. When the vrittis are there, the sense powers also become functional. Isn't it? Then the vrittis go out. When the vrittis go out, vrittis have like beams of light, rays of sunlight. Sun doesn't walk here, okay? Sun's rays alone come and illumine everything. Rays of light can travel, light travels. Like that, consciousness does not travel, but reflection of consciousness through the reflecting medium, it goes out. Reflection of consciousness goes out through the reflecting medium. Then that every reflecting, every vritti serves as what now? Ray of light, ray of consciousness, ray of reflection of consciousness, beam of reflection of consciousness. It goes out through every sense organ. And then that is why we have only five objects, not just five objects. Why? Only five senses. Bhagavan has put one more hole, then we would have had sixth object. We don't know. Only five senses. We have only five holes. Understand now. Skin. Five senses are, they serve as five holes. And the vrittis go out, and then what that with every vritti, this ray of light of consciousness, has its own limitation. It has capacity. So water objects fall within the realm of those, within the range of those rays of consciousness, and those objects become illumined. And there is a cognition. Your cognition is always of the objects which are perceived. So cognition itself is possible only if the vritti goes out, then there is cognition. Vritti doesn't go out, there is no cognition. For the vritti to go out, it must be there. Why the vrittis don't go out? Vrittis are resolved. There's a time when that you have, just as you wake up and every day go to the office, come back and sleep, vrittis also come out and then they're very active, get tired and go back and resolve. Understand now? This is how cognition takes place. Now you can understand. Existence of anything presupposes cognition. Cognition is impossible. Now, what is cognition now? A conscious vrittihi is cognition. Isn't it? Now, understand, vritti, the reflecting medium. Vritti minus reflection of consciousness cannot even have existence. A thought by itself cannot even have existence. And thought has existence, thought becomes conscious and sentient. Thereby, thought has the capacity to move out and the illumine also when? Only because of the grace of consciousness. Therefore, what do we say here now? A vritti, isn't it? A cognition is possible because of the reflection of consciousness. Look at this. Existence presupposes cognition. Cognition presupposes the reflection of consciousness. Isn't it? Reflection of consciousness presupposes the pure original consciousness. Therefore, who is the absolute illuminator? Who is the absolute? Isn't it? Therefore, does consciousness do the act of knowing or function of? No, consciousness is. So, therefore, who is the knower there? Is consciousness the knower? No. Consciousness is not the knower, cognizer, but there's no cognition possible without the consciousness. Therefore, we say now what? The knower is consciousness. The illuminator is consciousness. From the standpoint of the illumined, from the standpoint of the known, we say the illuminator is, knower is consciousness. This is how mind functions. And then one more thing I want to tell you. Any vritti comes in the mind. It's all in subconscious. Okay? And then that is why we can't undo our thoughts. We have to know one thing. It can be jealousy, it can be hatred, it can be anger, unresolved problems. Anger, jealousy, hatred, desire, likes and dislikes. Now, all of them are naturally in your subconscious. Everyone has this. There's nobody who's totally free from all of them. No, every human being by birth is an ajnani. As an ajnani, everyone will have these problems. Isn't it? Very natural. And they are said very, very natural. And they will be there. That is why living a life of karma yoga and commitment to dharma, value of knowledge, well, you know, having a goal in life, knowing the goal being moksha, and thereby being committed to the pursuit of knowledge, living a life of karma yoga and prayer and worship, they'll all help you only to manage these thoughts which arise. Only in jnanam they will be resolved for good. Understand now? They arise. Because mind is a function, of mind function within the realm of an order, that is why you can't undo them. They all come when they have to come. They all are there when they will be there. And for those thoughts to arise, they need some nimittam. Nimittam means what now? Something to trigger. Isn't the thoughts are there all the time, and they need something as an instrumental. In an instrument, triggering instrument you need. So desire is already there in the subconscious, very natural. Every human mind will have desire. But desire for what? And that may be different. Desire is natural. And when something is seen, that is triggered. Then I have to get it. I see this fan, okay, I had to get now. Oh, this has got a fan, I had to get it still. Is it something like that? When you had something, you had to see an object or a thing or a person or a situation, a place can trigger the subconscious. What is there already, it surfaces. That is why the people who are there, they only become instrumental, limit them, instrumental for those thoughts to come up. When thoughts come, that's why if you're an intelligent person, you are not a dull, dumb person, then you can see these thoughts are coming up and then you can manage them. What does it mean by saying managing? Those thoughts, when they arise, you just don't go and talk everything, every rubbish and nonsense. And then you say, before you talk, before you say something, now you think about it. Whether it will hurt, the thoughts may come. Is it true or not? Is it right or wrong? It will hurt or not? You know, you have to be very careful. The thoughts may come. Then you don't suppress the thoughts, don't undo the thoughts, keep with the thoughts, but see what is dharma. Then you, in expressing the thoughts, you'll be very careful, means thoughts become managed. That is why you need what now? Commitment to dharma, living a life of karma yoga, and being prayerful and being worshipful. All these things will help you to manage the thoughts. Nobody can undo the thoughts. Thoughts will resolve by themselves only in jnanam. That is the time mind also will be resolved for good. That is when this bhrantija tadatmyam will go. Isn't it? Identity with the Atma, my Anatma, the mind, conscious Atma, identity, isn't it? Mind being mistaken for the Atma, isn't it? That wrong identity will resolve when the mind will resolve, isn't it? Only in Jnanam. Have you cleared your doubt? To some extent?
Yeah.
Now, always understand, cognition is not because of what is outside. Cognition means the conscious vritti has to arise, the vritti has to go out, and when the vritti goes out, and whatever object is within the realm, within the range of the conscious vritti, then that object gets illumined, then their knowledge takes place, isn't it? So, cognition is what is inside alone. That is why, for us, where is the whole jagat? Any knowledge of anything in the world is here. That's why you are the source of knowledge, treasures of knowledge. A known knowledge is outside of you. Nothing is out. Knowledge, the source of knowledge is what? You are the source of knowledge. Jnana Swarupam, Jnana Adhara.
Could you explain just once more about what triggers the rising of the vritti division? What? There they are.
Parabdha karma, that's all I said.
Everything.
Parabdha karma rises. Triggers. Vrittis will rise. See, because of the, we don't know old, no, lots of junk, the garbage. Okay, past experiences and present experiences, pleasant things and good things and right things and punya, papa, pleasure and pain, everything is there, isn't it? Only thing is the time, it's a time. Uchite kale, the right time, something triggers, it comes up. It will be pain also. For any amount of pain you go through in life, other person, association, connection is only instrumental for triggering the old pain you have in you. Nobody's pain is always old. There is no new pain. Only now I got a new pain, you know. Who said? Any pain is always old. Emotional pain is old. Only thing is, it's there. You don't know it is there. Then it is a bliss, isn't it? Ignorance is bliss. And the pain surfaces. Emotional pain surfaces, for which the situation becomes nimittam, instrumental. Or the person becomes instrumental. Behavior becomes instrumental. The loss becomes instrumental. Isn't it? This all becomes, something becomes instrumental for the old pain to be triggered, to surface, and you go through. How long? Agama apayi comes and goes. Anitya. So also, what about pleasure? Pleasure, don't even know. We're always looking for pleasure only. Therefore, pleasure comes, we immediately know. And there we don't think about anybody's, he is responsible for my pleasure. No, we never say that. I am responsible for my pleasure. I did worked hard and then I got my, I'm enjoying my pleasure because I worked, no? I worked for it. Then then even that's also not right, isn't it? Something, okay. Suddenly, Amma bought a nice bunch of flowers. It's a pleasure, isn't it? It's nimittam. Already pleasure is there. What is a pleasure? You are source of pleasure. Happiness is fullness. And fraction of fullness is what? Pleasure. It surfaces. And for which, what is nimittam? Bunch of flower. Isn't it? So anything is, there's nothing which is outside of the consciousness, Brahman, Atma, the you, actually. Isn't it? All these things is how mind functions. Okay, let me go to the next one. And any vritti is rising. Which vritti rises? Don't need to worry about. Okay, whatever rises as a vritti, rising of vritti, resolving of vritti, what vritti rises, what vritti resolves, all of them are determined by your prarabdha karma phalam. Whatever has in there, it has to surface. And we don't know, in maybe through 2, 3, 4, 5 janmas before, what papa karma we did, we do not know. That karma palam takes so long, only comes not even the previous janmas. Only comes this janma. Or may come next janma also. And that comes, we don't understand the connection why that papa karma palam has to exhaust them of pain. That pain will be where? That papa karma palam, no, janita. That pain will be there. Dukkham will be there. And for which something has to become instrumental. That's why it comes. It's there, it goes. Not permanent. It's all law, within the law of Bhagavan, in the form of law and order. Isn't it? Which Bhagavan is sitting anywhere? Come on. Bhagavan is law and order. So, be in tune with order and enjoy this life. If it transgress the order, have it. That's all.
Thank you. It's a really clear exposition and beautiful. But just to clarify, because I'm a bit slow, this question of vritti. Now, Swamini is sat there now, and I'm, as it were, sat here. So what is the vritti that comes out that sees and hears Swamini? I don't quite understand it.
Just the vrittis. Vritti, there are vrittis now, because waking state, there are vrittis.
Yeah.
And your vrittis go, all the vrittis are out now. See, all the senses now, in wake, why do you call it waking state? Even if you have some problem with any ear or anything, there may be problem. Otherwise, all the now the vrittis are out through senses, eyes, through the ears, and through the nose, through the tongue, through the skin also. All vrittis are out. But now, here, because attention is paid more to what now? All the vrittis are out. But what are you paying your focus attention more on what? Suppose I'm talking. And I'm the person who's talking. Then naturally, within I'm available within the range of your vritti. Suppose you're sitting at home. You're sitting at home. Suppose imagine, if you are, our vrittis have no limitation at all. We don't need to come to the class. You know that? From there you can see me like Sanjaya. See, sitting in Dakshina, Hastinapura Palace, he could see the whole battlefield. Don't need to come here. And I can also see, sitting, I can see what you are doing. Oh, you are not listening to me. I can make out also. You are sitting in the garden and eating your bread. And what I do, not talking to your people at home, you are not listening to me. So I can also make out. So vrittis have limitation. If you are at home, you can't see me here. Isn't it? Because your vrittis have very limitation. It can't travel, isn't it? So vrittis travel this far now. Not only this far, even some more distance. You don't only see me, you can also see the trees behind, the plants behind. Because you don't pay attention to, therefore you don't really see. You pay attention to, they'll also be seen, isn't it?
So many.
The vrittis come. Have I answered your question now?
All the vrittis are conscious.
Yeah.
And that,
I tell you, vritti is ever conscious.
Yeah.
Vritti is ever conscious. Because mind is ever conscious. There's no time when the mind does not have the reflection of consciousness. There's no time. Mind always has the manifest consciousness, reflection of consciousness. Mind is ever conscious being. Why? Because the original conscious, the pure consciousness, the original one is eternal. Consciousness is always there. Once the mind is naturally conscious. Mind is also always conscious only. The vrittis are resolved, then there is no vritti, isn't it? When the vrittis come out, immediately they reflect consciousness, they are conscious.
What's become clear, actually, listening to you, which is, and I've wondered about this for a long time, we can all listen to Swamini, and yet each one of us may hear something quite different.
Understanding takes place. Yes.
But that's because of the rittis, isn't it? I mean, the rittis that arise here and listen to you,
yeah,
and in Kisji, yes, are slightly different.
Okay, no, you talk about the understanding, the teaching, isn't it? A difference in understanding of the teaching. Mm. That may happen. I tell you again. See, generally what happens, generally all of us have certain basic cognition, isn't it? Now, for all of us, there is sunlight. For all of us, Swamini is sitting here. For all of us, I'm wearing orange clothes. For all of us, I'm speaking. All of us are listening. So this is common thing, which is general cognition. Apart from that, there is also cognition, absorption, understanding of what is being talked, isn't it? That understanding can vary from person to person. That depends upon the sharpness of intellect. Suppose some people may understand rightly, some people may not understand rightly. We may have wrong understanding or non-understanding, isn't it? There may not be understanding at all of what is being said. Or there may be completely right understanding of what is being said. Or wrong understanding. Or slight difference in how you understand may be different from what Keith understands or what Dviram understands. That there is a difference, isn't it? That depends upon how much you know before it regard a subject matter. Suppose a physics person comes who has got his PhD in quantum mechanics, and his understanding of things will be different from when he listens to it. Okay? There is a medical conference on cardiology, something about cardiology. When I go there, I don't know anything about cardiology. All that I know about ventricles, auricles, and how the heart functions. But they have studied all about the order involved. When then that understanding will be different from my understanding. Isn't it? It also is prior knowledge of what the person knows, isn't it? The prior knowledge of the person also determines in grasping, in the level of grasping, how much the person understands, how much has been understood. That is a different thing.
Yeah. But does the sharpness of the intellect have any effect on the vrittis or not?
No. Vritti by itself is conscious vritti. The sharpness, how, that is why the more you use the vrittis, in what the vrittis are used, the cognition, suppose your buddhi, then the capacity to know, is the capacity to know, this cognizing capacity which is there on the part of vritti, isn't it? That, how much you are focusing, how much you try to gain. The more you're exposed, the more you gain, the more you know, the more you understand, isn't it? Always clarity enhances, I told you. Clarity enhances. That depends upon how much you are exposed to, how much you are all focused in that thinking. Because that's also vritti, subconscious also contributes. I told you, remember, nirvikalpa. What you call a constantly thinking of in your mind, again vrittis. And that vrittis go again the continuation of the same thinking. And there's again some understanding.
So in a way, the riches are, that would depend on the state of buddhi.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now buddhi means, what I'm saying, buddhi also are nothing but vrittis. Mind also, all the mind as a whole, we classify as what now, manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankara, when you say, all are vrittis only, varieties of vrittis. There are vrittis, suppose first, the vrittis which are the of cognition I'm talking about. How there is something called cognition takes place, first of all, that only explained here. Isn't it? Cognition is a vritti, there's a buddhihi. Buddhi, that vritti comes under what now? Buddhihi, intellect. Cognition, understanding, knowledge, perception, isn't it? Clarity, they're all vrittis only. These vrittis come under the category of buddhihi. And suppose something comes, doubt. What is doubt? Doubt also is a vritti. Doubt also is a vritti. It's a different vritti. That's why we say what now? Sandeha Samshaya Akara Vrittihi. Vritti in the form of doubt. Asuya Akara Vrittihi. Vritti in the form of jealousy. Krodha Akara Vrittihi. Vritti in the form of anger. Then Kama Akara Vrittihi. Vritti in the form of desire. They are all thoughts only. Every thought needs what? Vritti. Where do they come from?
So
all is there.
Is it the direction that we are talking about, where all these days we were thinking that from an object it is this way, that the direction goes up to the pure consciousness, but it is the other way, isn't it, that you are talking about, isn't it? Because the vrittis have to go out from this side towards the object. Is that right, Roger? That's what we were thinking all these days. Is it the other way? But it is this way. Is that right, Swami?
Which way?
This way. from the mind, we are talking from the object towards pure consciousness. Yeah. Now, it is from the mind then the senses, and to the object.
That is why Dhritarashtra class itself, the whole Dhritarashtra, who is the absolute illuminator. The world is ever illumined, never becomes the illuminator, isn't it? That itself is enough for you to understand. The world is ever the illumined, never becomes the illuminator, means the world, even for the world to have existence, it needs to shine, it needs to come to light. To come to light, it needs to be illumined, to be perceived, for which it is dependent on the sense powers. The sense powers are dependent on the mind. Mind is dependent on the consciousness. Yes. That's what we've been talking. And how this becomes, isn't it? Now it's a big
thing. So that explains. When I'm clear in the mind, when you say thoughts go out.
Now we talk about in the mind, we talk about this. Okay, generally, I only want to make it very clear, because cognition is a very important thing in understanding. Because anything which has its existence only when there's a cognition of it, isn't it? I started from the gross objects. Jojaji has gone to the cognition of much subtler things, isn't it? So cognition, generally cognition means what? Generally cognition is always the vrittihi, a cognition. Understanding, knowledge, they're all vrittis only. They come under the category of buddhihi. They're all thoughts. Is it? First, that cognition is a must. First, I itself is cognition. I am is cognition. And that cognition must be there. Then for that, you can say, okay, light is. First, thoughts are. Mind is. Sense powers are. No, perception is. Then light is. To go to outside, first of all. Isn't it? It's a cognition. Is it clear now? This is a cognition. Then what about other vrittis? Vritti means don't think only cognition. Cognition is an important vritti because of which all other vrittis have their existence. What about doubt? Doubt is a vritti. What about confusion? Is a vritti. What about jealousy? Vritti. What about anger? Vritti. What about desire? Vritti. What about likes and what about the passion? Vritti. Everything is vritti. And all those vrittis also what now? Objects of cognition. Look at this. See, you are talking only about external objects. I wanted to understand, not only the external objects are objects of cognition. Not only, see, even for the external object to be there, there must be cognition. Cognition must be there, then external object also is there. What about your own, come to the cognition of sense powers now? There is cognition of light, cognition of sound, cognition of all these things. And the cognition of all these things are there, external objects. Cognition of taste, cognition of touch, etc. Now, cognition of sense power, each sense power. Cognition of seeing power, cognition of... there is a cognition that the power is. Cognition of seeing power, cognition of hearing power, cognition of power of smelling, isn't it? Cognition of sense powers. Now, cognition of the mind, cognition of cognition. Got it? Cognition of cognition, cognition of all the vrittis, thoughts now. Your other thoughts are all objects of cognition. Desire is object of cognition. Because desire is known, isn't it? There's a cognition of desire, cognition of anger, cognition of confusion, cognition of doubt. They're all objects of cognitions. They're not cognition actually. So cognition is a given vritti, which is very important, without which any object becomes non-existent. Is it clear now? This is first understanding. What is cognition was the topic that I made very clear. What is cognition is very clear now? The cognition of internally available, internally drishya, antara drishyaha. Antara drishya. What is internally perceived? What is internally objectified? What is internally seen or what? They are also objects of cognition. All other thoughts. Cognition of internally perceived. Cognition of externally perceived. So cognition of external objects, cognition of sense powers, cognition of other vrittis. Then you also say cognition of cognition also. I know. How do you say that? I know that I know. The cognition of ignorance. I know that I do not know. It means what now? This knowledge of knowledge. Knowledge of ignorance. Isn't it? I do not know French. That is what now? There's a cognition of, that's expression of my cognition of my ignorance of French. Isn't it? So, even thoughts are also objects of cognition. So, without cognition, for which there must be what now? First, I cognition must be there. I am itself is a cognition. Without that cognition, no cognition of object, internal or external, is possible. Is it clear? That is why who is very important? You. You are very, very important. I. That is why all the objects external are evident to whom? You. You are not evident to anything external. All the objects are evident to you. Not only external objects, your sense powers are evident to you. Your all the thoughts, vrittis are evident to you. Your cognition also is evident to you. And you are self-evident. Understand now? And thereafter, suppose there is a cognition and you pay attention to a given field. Suppose you specialize in a given discipline. You work only in that. So biology or physics or botany or zoology or physics or chemistry or microbiology, any field. Or anything else also, any technical education also, anything. You are specially only in that focusing means that field you will discover now from your own buddhi, because attention is paid more, time is given more, you have much more and more and more and more and more cognition. Isn't it? It's much subtler cognition. Why we call subtler now? The subtler is the object of cognition. Is it still as a cognition? It's a cognition only. Object is subtle or gross or anything. Cognition is a subtle vritti. The cognition is always subtle. The object of cognition can be grossest, gross, grosser, subtle, subtler, subtlest. Isn't it? But that cognition, for that cognition of cognition, then the understanding is different, isn't it? Depends upon how much you know there. Then always one can have enhanced clarity, which is a cognition, isn't it? That depends upon how much you work, how much you focus. It's a basic understanding for any human being to survive, isn't it? This is a basic cognition. That is a must for enhancing one's cognition, the cognitive powers. One has to enhance his cognitive powers, thereby to have more wider understanding, wider vision. Then therefore that cognitive skills may vary from person to person. Everybody has cognitive skill, but the cognitive skill is very, very low. People can't come and sit in Bhagavad Vedanta class. They'll feel bored with the class. They can't sit, run away from the class. Boring class. You know, some katha kalashepam, some singing and music, and then some dance, and then something, and then stories, and then whatnot, and jokes and things is entertainment. Because cognitive skills are only that much. They see, people need, you know, a level of cognitive skills vary from person to person. That depends upon how much you have made use of the shakti available. If you don't make a buddhi shakti at all, Bhagavan has blessed you with the shakti. And you read only comics all the time. And how will they improve? It only comics. Now, oh, this is very intellectual. I don't want this. People, they think, now they also make teas also this. I'm not saying reading comics is bad or anything. But you don't know, you don't go, in India some people think that's reading this, Milson, no, what's it? Milson Books. That's the big achievement. And then, how much will be the cognitive skill? What will be the cognitive skill? You had to know, the good classics, you read, more you read, and the cognitive skills will improve, isn't it? Or any discipline for that matter. Cognitive skills vary from person to person. That is when we say, if sattvamsha becomes predominant, highly cognitively skillful. Rajas is predominant, cognitively skillful, not as skillful as the other one. Tamasic. Tamas is predominant. 1,000 times, people can't sit through the class. They'll prefer more running around. This is cognitive skills vary from person to person, 100% I'm sure. That is there. But I explained here in the context, what is cognition? And without cognition, the world will be non-existent. And for the cognition to be there also, I am must be there. Isn't it? Any doubt? Okay. Anything else to be? Okay, we go to this. Oh, 10:30 now. We go to this. So you can have now your question. Tell me.
I just wanted to try and think loudly and reiterate what you said on what Roger was asking, and just get a clarification. So what you're saying is that I take it vritti is one at a time. So it just, if you then say the flow of vritti is in a very slow motion, while you're talking, if I decide to pay attention to a sound outside, that is what my mind is cognizing. Because I, as much as I can hear another sound, because my mind is focused to the attention of the sound of the bird, it is what I understand at that point. Recognize, my mind recognizes. Whereas if I then focus my attention to what you are saying, then I begin to understand what you are saying. And somewhere along the line, I suddenly think, oh my, I've got a leg pain. So that is what I'm recognizing. Then I again focus to what you are saying. So these vrittis are sort of...
Yeah, vrittis. See, even that knowledge, that knowledge is possible because of vrittis only. Yeah. Because of vrittis only, suppose, that is what I'm saying, if the attention is not paid, even the pain will be as well as non-existent. That is what they try to do when in sometimes, that's what people talk about, the hunger, thirst, also they manage that way. Okay, what I'm saying, but it's not that the thought comes one after the other, not that way. There's so many thoughts will be there, but thoughts will be there, thoughts will be going, thoughts will be living. For example, light comes in, look at this. Light comes in, light illumines all the objects here. Light has no partiality, isn't it? Light is non-partial, light is just the light by its mere presence. It illumines Dema's blue color, Fayan's white color, that green color, this page color, all the colors, all the faces, everything. And then really speaking, because all of us are not focusing on all the objects, all the objects are illumined also. Because our attention is not paid to the fan and the blue color and the orange color, not even my complexion. You only listen to my voice mainly. Of course, you're seeing me. Kasha is seeing me. You see that what is, but still, your attention is not even in the form. Attention is more in what is being said. Of course, you're inevitably, helplessly, you're seeing the form. That's a different thing. But basically, what you're focusing on more is the voice, isn't it? Then you only grasp it. The cognition, that cognition takes place, isn't it? Cognition is of that. Objects are illumined. And even for the illumination of those objects, light has to be there, no? Like that, vrittis go out, illumine all the objects. But what where is attention paid to? That alone is grasped, isn't it? Sometimes you walk in the thing, you are walking, and there is, you do see somebody, there is illumination, there is a cognition of somebody, but that is not registered because attention is not paid. It's all the limitations of the mind and the problems of the mind, isn't it? Attention is not paid means nothing gets registered. Even if you see, that is why we say attention is very important. Even if you see something, the perception may not take place. Till the it is as good as non-existent. Why? Attention is not paid.
You said you can manage like feeling hungry or thirsty or that you can manage. Is feeling sleepy everything?
Yeah. No, feeling sleepy, the dullness, isn't it? Feeling sleep. No, sleep means all the vrittis need rest. Feeling sleepy means vrittis don't want to be active. Okay, they want to just go and resolve. Not that vritti wants to. Vrittis are getting ready to resolve. Okay, that's what is feeling sleepy, dullness adds to because of sometimes that is due to a lot of reasons. The physical tiredness, physical illness, what you have done. Sometimes you put, there are medicines, you put the mind to sleep also, isn't it? Sedatives. Very drowsy and all that. That is, that you even the very function is something, is order is little changed, isn't it? That is, feeling sleepy is a different problem. That when tamas is predominant, you will feel sleepy. You eat, drink the whole day buttermilk in winter. You will be sleeping all the time. You won't wake up. Natural sedative buttermilk. You know that? Especially in India, the sour buttermilk in summer. Keep it outside. You keep drinking. You will fall asleep. So dull you will be. And if you eat buffalo yogurt, thick yogurt in Delhi, and then sleep, you know, you will fall asleep immediately. Buffalo yogurt. You know the yogurt made of buffalo milk. You won't touch. We were cow's milk. Now what I'm saying, I'm not saying anything wrong. Delhi people use that, you know. People sleep. Pashumad, we always go for cow. Clean, hybrid, pedigree cow. Not even this. Cows, country cows. Then that is, milk will be very watery, but still it will be very healthy. Yeah. Thank you. Anyway, so okay, let me not go to the other things now. See, to what makes you feel drowsy, sleepy, if you overeat also, you can feel sleepy. And sometimes you can't relate to what is being talked in the class also, you'll feel sleepy. And you can't enjoy also, you feel sleepy. See, to feel sleepy, to feel drowsy, so hundreds of reasons. That's a different thing, isn't it? But there is a state called deep sleep state when you can't keep your eyes open, you will push you to sleep. That all of us experience after 11 o'clock at night. Even class daytime also.
I was asking that question, whether that is a vritti,
no.
Pulling into deep sleep.
Not vritti. The whole mind as a whole, because it's a tiredness, when you listen so much, the mind has its own limitation. The attention span is a limitation. You can't be listening from morning till 5 o'clock continuously for any long. That is why any classroom, any hour is what, 45 minutes in school days. Why you can't, children can't, even 45 minutes is very difficult. For me, I used to, only 15 minutes, I used to be very attentive in the class. After I'll be doing something naughty in the class. Now what I'm saying, because very natural, as a child, it is very, very difficult to be focused for 45 minutes. Then every 45 minutes you have to break and same habit matter also. Mass 45 minutes, 5-10 minutes break, another teacher comes, she'll teach not some language, then you have math, again physics. But physics and mathematics both talking you can't go together. Now all subtle things, sciences had to be done in between some language class, some fun. Like that, we have a history class. You can sleep also. You don't need to study anything. And then afterwards it comes, you know, the social sciences. Then you have other class because you have gap. And always you see mathematics class and physics class always in the morning times. And after lunch, history, geography, and then we have social sciences, and then we have these classes. Why? Because how mind should be. Because mind becomes slowly, see, not like morning, fresh in the morning after good sleep. And after listening to some time, attention is paid means it's a function of mind. See, even though physically you're not active, still mind is active. No, mind is function. This is active now. So when the mind is involved in a function of listening, means then it becomes tired. It's a mental work, isn't it? It's a mental work it is. Then you get tired. So you need some break. It's natural. That's not the vritti. Nothing to do with the vritti. That is the condition of the mind. The mind, vritti, what is a vritti? Any thought is a vritti. Vritti is nothing but a thought. And cognition is the main vritti without which nothing can have existence. I want to talk about the cognition. Understand what I'm saying? Cognition of external objects or cognition of internal thoughts, cognition of your sense powers, cognition of your own. Suppose you have pain in your leg. Others don't know your pain. But there's a cognition of the pain, isn't it? Your leg, your physical pain, others cannot know. They can understand what the pain is, but they cannot feel your pain. It means what now? There's a cognition of that, isn't it? So cognition is of anything perceived. There's a cognition is very important, without which internally perceived thoughts or externally perceived objects are once available, internally perceived means perceived in one's own body, like powers, physical pains, comfort, discomfort, everything. That is also what now? All objects of cognition only. So minus cognition, everything will be as good as non-existent. That is what I wanted to make it clear. What is cognition is very important for cognition. See, existence of anything, headache, existence of headache, existence of body pain, existence of backache, existence of your sense powers, existence of externally perceived objects, existence of your own thoughts, your own hatred, your own anger, your own desire, existence of desire. Desire is only when there is cognition of desire. Existence of anything subtle or gross presupposes the cognition. And existence of cognition presupposes what now? Consciousness. That consciousness is the very content of the knower, content of the I. Isn't it? Substance of the substantive I, the meaning of the word I, which is one and indivisible partless whole, which is the self. We never say selves, isn't it? Self of all the beings. The truth of all the beings. That's why it's implied by the word Atma. Okay, next class we are going to start the new text. I mean, we'll understand five definitions for the word Atma. Next class, not today. Okay, you all please have tea and come back. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.